is Malcolm Ross of Orange Juice, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Hey, dude. Hey, you want to get a cup of coffee with me? Oh, no, man. I just went to get a cup of coffee. But you want to go get a cup of coffee? Oh, yeah. I would like to go get a cup of coffee with you. Hey, do you want to go down the street later on and get a couple cups of coffee? Yeah, all right. I'll go get a cup of coffee. Hey, do you want to watch my coffee while I go into the coffee shop to get another coffee? Oh, yeah. I got two cups right here. I'll just watch your cups while I watch my cups.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Unhappy about something you heard on All Together Now? Or maybe you have a strong opinion about an issue. Energy, agriculture, the environment, the Common Core standards, or broadband access.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Tuesday, July the 17th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Trump says he's not buying U.S. intelligence as he meets with Putin. Also on the rundown, as harvest nears, farmers speak out on tariffs. Immigrant advocates say families should not be kept in cages, and a call for a deeper dive on the Lake Erie algae troubles. But first, topping our news, after face-to-face talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin, the BBC reports President Donald Trump contradicted U.S. intelligence agencies and said there had been no reason for Russia to meddle in the vote. The two men held nearly 2 hours of closed-door talks in Helsinki on Monday. The BBC says Trump was asked if he believed his own intelligence agencies or the Russian president when it came to the allegations of meddling in the elections. Trump responded, "President Putin says it is not Russia. I don't see any reason why it should be." In a strongly worded statement, U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan said Trump must appreciate that Russia is not an ally. Farmers in South Dakota want to trust that President Trump will succeed on getting them better deals by imposing tariffs on trade partners. But as the fall harvest looms, Roz Brown reports, they are getting nervous.
Scott Vanderwall is president of the South Dakota Farm Bureau. He spent last week in Washington, D.C., much of it in hearings with others to discuss what effect a trade war will have on corn and soybean prices. He says the tariff issue puts Trump supporters in a tough position because they approve of the president's efforts to reduce regulations. At the same time, he says all the swirl over tariffs already has cost South Dakota farmers and ranchers hundreds of millions of dollars.
We have not been treated fairly by many of these other countries in the past on trade agreements. And so the president is right in trying to fix these things. So we're trying to be patient, but at the same time, patience is wearing thin as we get closer to harvest.
Last week, South Dakota's elected officials, including Senators John Thune and Mike Rounds, along with Representative Kristi Noem, sent a letter to the president saying farmers can no longer continue to wait and see what happens with U.S. trade in the global arena.
On Monday, China cited illegal attempts at protectionism when it filed a case with the World Trade Organization against the United States to protest new tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. And after a federal judge temporarily halted deportations of immigrant families reunited at the southwest border, Tramell Gomes reports immigrant rights groups say there is still a problem with keeping families incarcerated for profit.
U.S. District Judge Dana Sabra imposed a delay of at least a week following a request from the American Civil Liberties Union, which cited persistent and increasing rumors that mass deportations may be carried out imminently and immediately upon reunification. The ACLU requested that parents have at least 1 week to decide whether to pursue asylum in the U.S. after they are reunited with their children. The judge held off on deciding that issue until the government outlines its objections in writing by next Monday. Melissa Tavares with the Florida Immigrant Coalition says the detention centers are privately owned and there are incentives for corporations to keep them filled.
At the Florida Immigrant Coalition, we're advocating heavily so that families stay together, but they're not kept together behind cages. They're not kept together in detention centers.
Justice Department Attorney Scott Stewart opposed the delay but did not address the rumors in court. The Trump administration is facing a July 26 deadline for putting thousands of children back together with their parents.
Advocates in federal court in L.A. said immigrant children in government custody are being given poor food, kept in unsanitary conditions, and face insults and threats. Meantime, with Nebraska's primaries in the rearview mirror, volunteers of the group Unity in Action are setting their sights on mobilizing voters for the upcoming November midterm elections.
Ishmael Valadez with the group says canvassers are working primarily in South Sioux City's immigrant communities to register voters and provide basic information, including deadlines for registering, mail-in or drop-off dates for ballots, in hopes of increasing voter turnout and engagement in issues that impact local residents.
If people don't get engaged, people don't go out to vote in the elections, basically what happens is that you're letting somebody else decide your future. You have a say, your vote counts, and potentially you could be the decision maker when it comes to who wins the election.
Valadez points to the Dakota County Sheriff's recent embrace of a program that deputizes local officers as ICE agents as one reason immigrant voters should step up their engagement.
And finally, Mary Sherman tells us while biweekly bulletins warn Ohioans of harmful algae locations and toxicity in Lake Erie, some clean water groups contend officials need to also focus on eliminating the problem.
The new 2018 Lake Erie algae forecast shows that while it will not be a record year for algae, there will be a substantial bloom. Executive Director of the Lake Erie Foundation and Lake Erie Waterkeeper Sandy Benn says the algae updates are valuable and appreciated, but need to include accountability.
We're talking about where the algae is, how much algae there is. The flip side of that is what's causing it, how is it being reduced, how far are we along the line of getting the 40% reduction we need to solve the problem. And one of the components of that is manure applications.
Ben says the Maumee and Detroit rivers are the source of the majority of the phosphorus entering Lake Erie, and one-fourth of the discharge from the Maumee is from land manure runoff.
Water quality groups say the amount of phosphorus allowed to be used should be the same for manure and commercial fertilizer applications. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts an 80% chance of showers and afternoon thunderstorms Tuesday as a cool front moves across the area and reduces the humidity temperature. Tuesday night should be a low around 58. Wednesday should be sunny with a high near 77, a low around 53. And Thursday should be sunny with a high near 78 and a low around 58. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported Creative Community Radio.
Next, we have these reports.
Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines. Ars Technica reports that on July 16th, Federal Communications Commission Chairman Ajit Pai said he's against the Sinclair Broadcast Group's acquisition of Tribune Media Company. The Republican had not previously been in favor of much of any regulation of communication companies, so the announcement was a surprise. The FCC recently rolled back broadcast TV station ownership limits, which allows Sinclair to own more stations. Pai has been repeatedly accused of making regulatory changes that benefit Sinclair. The FCC's Inspector General in February agreed to investigate whether Pai has improperly coordinated with Sinclair on rule changes, unquote, Ars Technica's John Brodkin writes. Quote, the evidence we've received suggests that certain station divestitures that have been proposed to the FCC would allow Sinclair to control those stations in practice, even if not in name, in violation of the law, unquote, Pai wrote in a statement July 16th. He recommended the merger get reviewed by an administrative law judge. Politico described sending the case to administrative law judge as, quote, a lengthy administration process often viewed as a deal killer, unquote. Sinclair also took a public relations hit nationally a few weeks ago when a video compiling local station anchors being forced to read exactly the same political script went viral. Currently, Pai and FCC Commissioner Jessica Rosenworkel, Democrat, are two no votes out of four, one commissioner still being confirmed. Rosenworkel said recently that, quote, too many of this agency's media policies have been custom-built to support the business plans of Sinclair Broadcasting. With this hearing designation order, the agency will finally take a hard look at its proposed merger with Tribune. This is overdue, and favoritism like this needs to end, unquote. I'm Tom Rowe reporting for Waveform, Standing Wave Radio, and WGXC.
Good morning, and welcome to Good Heavens, your minimum daily requirement of astrological observation and cosmic mythology. This is for July 17th. Why do we fail, Mr. Wayne? So that we can learn how to pick ourselves up. It sounds like sage advice. There isn't a single one of us who has not experienced failure in some way, shape, or form, so we have to be very careful when we observe ways that we could have done better and not devolve into self-criticism. This is the blessing and the curse of the Virgo process. Virgo's job is to see what's wrong. If we did not have that faculty, then we wouldn't have any teeth because we didn't know to take the rocks out of our salad. Yeah, I bet that made you cringe. So we thank Virgo for saving our life by keeping us a few feet away from the edge of a cliff or teaching us about separating the chaff from the wheat. So if we want a sense of peace and calm, as noted by Venus's passage through Virgo these days, or for the year if it's your birthday, we have to allow the wisdom of separating what works from what does not to motivate us to be better and what we are doing right. And perhaps it would be wise letting go of relations, which just tell us that we're wrong. And it goes both ways. If we want peace in the world, then we want practical solutions. The first step is to know that there's a problem, but dwelling on that without offering some form of help is just adding to the problem, so be part of the solution. We can fix and clean this entire world if we each had a broom. The gardening calendar says to see the flowers this evening, and the space calendar shows the asteroid Mark Twain at his closest approach to Earth. Tune in to Good Heavens tomorrow for another exciting and edifying excursion into the archetypal realm of astrology with Ryan Evans, who can be found at www.ryanevansastrology.com. Good Heavens is produced at the studios of WDRT, Viroqua, Wisconsin.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties, is looking for contributors. Are you a retired?
Here's an interview from our partners at WOOCLP from the Sanctuary for Media Art in Troy, New York. You can go to the SoundCloud page for Media Sanctuary or look up the Sanctuary for Media Art webpage or Facebook page online for more information or to hear the complete interview.
Howie Hawkins has been a member of the Socialist Party, USA, since it was established in 1973 and is also a member of the socialist organization Solidarity. He was a co-founder of the Anti-Nuclear Clamshell Alliance in 1976. He was involved in the anti-apartheid divestment movement. Howie has published many articles in socialist publications. Mr. Hawkins is the Green Party candidate for governor. Howie is a retired Teamster from Syracuse. Welcome, Howie.
Thanks for having me.
So in 2014, you finished third in a race receiving 5% of the vote. Howie, can you give us a little bit of background on why you're running?
Well, our slogan this year is demand more. When we got 5%, Governor Cuomo wants to run for president. And he was looking at that 5% and saying, how come I didn't get those votes? So he started looking at what we were demanding. We were demanding a ban on fracking. He agreed when the health department reported. We were demanding paid family leave. He did that. We were demanding a $15 minimum wage. He's moving toward that. A little slow for us, but he's made motion. Tuition-free college at public universities, SUNY, CUNY, and community colleges. He did the Excelsior scholarships, which really only apply to a very small percentage of those students, but he made the effort to try to get those votes back. So this time we're saying, demand more. We want more reforms. We want, as Ralph Nader says, to raise our expectations. We should have an honest government. We just had the Buffalo Billion crooks convicted yesterday. We had the brother from another mother that Cuomo, you know, his father called the third son, Joe Prococo, convicted of soliciting bribes on, you know, to get that competitive power ventures plant, which, you know, is fracking infrastructure that we're opposed to. It would add 10% to our carbon footprint in the state. So we got a lot of crookedness going on. So we want more honest government, more demands, more reforms. And then we want more than piecemeal reforms. We want system change. And that brings up the question of socialism, which all of a sudden liberals who used to avoid the word are calling themselves socialists because the Democratic Socialists of America and other groups are growing very fast. Bernie Sanders had an impact. He called himself a socialist. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just beat the fourth highest ranked Democrat in Congress, Joe Crowley, in a primary. So now Cynthia Nixon and Jemani Williams, who are, Cynthia was a Clinton Democrat. You know, she supported Clinton against Bernie Sanders and maxed out on donations. So now they're calling themselves socialists, which we think is great. It's opening up the discussion, but we have to point out that socialism is not just liberal social programs that tax and transfer and redistribute after capitalism has created great inequality and partially mitigates those problems. Socialism is about social ownership of the basic means of production so we can have economic democracy. And we believe without economic democracy, we really can't have political democracy because the billionaire class still has a lot of power and they control the system. And in fact, they can roll back those liberal programs.
So do you think that the time has come for this new system change that you talked about?
Oh, I think so. The millennials are going toward it just because they may not have a full understanding of what socialism is, like social ownership being a central part of the socialist tradition. But look, they're coming out of college with huge debt, or if they didn't go to college, they've got minimum wage jobs. Basically, over the last 40 years, wages have been stagnant, health care has been escalating, the rents are too damn high, and people can't make ends meet. So they're saying, socialism, that's different. Let's give it a try. So I think, yeah, this is the time. Look, I came up in the 50s, the McCarthy era, the Cold War. Socialism was such a buzzword, you couldn't even talk about it and get people to think clearly. They were just, you know, they were thinking of the Soviet Union, which was a bad system. We don't call that socialism. You can't have socialism without democracy. But now it's opened up. So we can have a real discussion about a different system, and I think that's great.
So you're saying socialism is not communism?
Not communism as the Stalinists in Eastern Europe and China and elsewhere have implemented it, those are, I would call them state capitalists. You're still a wage worker. You're still exploited. The surplus value goes to the single party. And they very easily transitioned to capitalism in China and the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, because the old party leaders became the new oligarchs and basically took the state assets and put them in their own private hands.
So other candidates have been calling for a Green New Deal, an issue you first popularized in your 2010 race. What's this Green New Deal?
It's a revitalization of the public sector, both services and infrastructure. And it's a bottom-up approach to economic development. Instead of giving tax cuts to the rich and giving contracts to your campaign contributors, which is illegal when the bids are rigged, we want to invest in infrastructure and services and build the economy from the bottom up and target those investments to the communities that most need them. And so under that rubric, we're talking about guaranteed health care through a single public payer. We're talking about 100% clean energy in 2030. That's why we call it a Green New Deal.
Okay.
We want to fulfill the old New Deal. When FDR did his last State of the Union address, he said we should have a second Bill of Rights, an economic Bill of Rights. Everybody should have the right to a good education, to health care, to a job or income if you're not able to work, to a home that you can afford. And these are things the Civil Rights Movement picked up, the March on Washington. That was its demands. Out of that came the Freedom Budget. And King put it in the Poor People's Campaign and called it, "We Need an Economic Bill of Rights." So we want to expand that and include the environment. So that's a Green New Deal. Okay. And so that's what we're talking about. That's the theme of our program.
One of the Green Party's main issues has been criminal justice reform, including campaigning for an end to mass incarceration and an end to the drug wars. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, first of all, we've got to have more justice in the criminal justice system. We got to abolish cash bail because most of the people in the county jails are people that haven't even gone to trial. They just can't make bail. And we want a law for speedy trial. We call it Khalif's Law for Khalif Browder, the young man that was accused of stealing a backpack, spent a few years in Rikers, a lot of solitary confinement, a lot of beatings, and eventually he committed suicide just because of the trauma of that situation. His brother ran for as the Green Party candidate for mayor when that election last year.
Mayor of what city?
Of New York City.
Okay.
And so we call it Khalif's Law for a speedy trial. And what that means is prosecutors cannot just delay because they're not ready. They have to meet deadlines so people that are charged can go to trial and get their situation resolved. So we need reforms like that. We need a statewide public defender's office that makes sure all the counties have enough public defenders so that people can go to trial with counsel that doesn't exist now. And as far as the war on drugs goes, we got to legalize, tax, and regulate marijuana. Marijuana is a less dangerous drug than alcohol and tobacco. It's insane to be putting people in prison for using that drug. And it should be an industry. And the public bank we're calling for would actually enable transactions because right now, because of the federal law, and federally chartered banks can't handle those transactions. So if we had a state bank independent of the Fed and the federally chartering, it would be chartered in the state. They could handle that industry, which I think is coming. All the politicians seem to have gotten on board. Beyond that, we got an opioid crisis. And instead of treating users as criminals, they should be able to get treatment. The drug should be for personal use should be decriminalized like they did in Portugal with the hard drugs. It's still not legal, but when you are given it, you get an appearance ticket, and you appear before the board that includes a social worker, a lawyer, and a medical person. And they decide, they usually recommend treatment if you're addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And if you still refuse, then you do pay a fine. And they found that overdose drug deaths have radically been reduced. The amount of crime related to the drug industry has declined. And less people are actually using because there are ways to bring them back from addiction.
Okay.
I think that's the model we need. So instead of treating this as a criminal problem and filling the jails with people that have drug problems, get them the help they need.
Yeah. Okay. So earlier you touched a little bit on corruption in this state. Yesterday, one of the governor's top aides was convicted of rigging the bids for the so-called Buffalo Billion Project.
This is the second conviction of one of Cuomo's top aides in recent months, and it follows on the convictions of the former leaders of both the Senate and Assembly. Though they have been awarded a retrial, can anything be done to clean up corruption in Albany?
First thing is we got to reopen that Moreland Commission on contributors, people who were contributors who got contracts, and he shut it down. And we need to reopen it because not only have we got the Buffalo Billion or the bribery taken by Joe Prococo for the Competitive Power Ventures plant, I have a situation in Syracuse. It was a public housing project called Kennedy Square, and it was ESD had Empire State Development took control of it, and they handed it over to SUNY Upstate Medical University, who handed it to Core Development, whose two principals were convicted yesterday in the Buffalo Billion for bid rigging. They got that property through that transfer through state agencies with no bid, no money down. They tore down the projects, and it's now a weed-strewn lot waiting for development as Syracuse University gentrifies down that way. There was no investigation as to how they got that property. And I believe there are a lot of things like that going on. And that's why Preet Bharara, when he shut down the Moreland Commission, he picked it up as a U.S. attorney. So I think we need to reopen the Moreland Commission, and I believe Preet Bharara is available now because Trump fired him as a U.S. attorney.
So here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, we run a lot of programs for children. What can the state do to better meet their needs?
Well, a lot of these programs should be administered at the local level where people know what's going on, what the needs are in each neighborhood. And the problem is the state used to share revenues up to 8% of state revenues with municipalities. Today it's 0.4%, and Cuomo's frozen it. That's why, and then he's put a tax cap on the property taxes. So they're squeezed, they can't raise as much money, and they're not getting as much money from the state. So these kinds of programs are having a very hard time if they still survive.
Yeah.
So we've got to get money to the communities, and then local communities can set their priorities. And it needs to be distributed, I think, disproportionately to the most disadvantaged communities because they have the most needs.
Yeah.
So, Howie, thank you for joining us today. Is there any additional information you want to share with our listeners about how they can reach you and what you're doing right now?
Well, we have a website. It's howiehawkins.org. And on there, you can communicate with us. You can sign up to volunteer. You can donate. You can hook up with the campaign. And you can read a lot of information. We have a whole laid out program, more than you'll find on any other candidate's platform. And whether you agree or disagree with it, it's food for thought and discussion.
All right. Thank you, Howie Hawkins, who's running for governor. Thank you so much on the Green Party. Thank you for joining us here in. Get it together.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat. And WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community. Get it together. See what's happening. All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday.
Love.
like berries on the vine. It gets sweeter all the time.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRA, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties and beyond.
WGXC believes in hands-on two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and more. The G and the C stand for Greene and Columbia counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to the listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. This week, the 538.com website reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.4% of the time, same rate as last week. This is Antonio Delgado's hip-hop project, AD The Voice. This is Us Scared, an instrumental track.
In the Times Herald reports that it did not take long for the campaign of Representative John Faso to go after his Democratic opponent, Antonio Delgado, for the hip-hop album he released more than a decade ago. It took less than 2 weeks for the attacks over the hip-hop CD, Painfully Free, Delgado released on the Static Entertainment label in 2006. Faso said in a release statement, and I quote, "I was shocked and surprised to learn Mr. Delgado authorized some very troubling and offensive song lyrics. The tone and tenor of his lyrics, as reported, are not consistent with the views of most people in our district, nor do they represent a true reflection of our nation. Mr. Delgado's lyrics paint an ugly and false picture of America," end quote. Delgado defended his earlier work. He said via email, and I quote, "My decision to pursue a career in hip-hop was consistent with hip-hop's long and rich history of addressing the social and racial injustices that plague America. If you listen to the content of the lyrics, my mission is clear," end quote. Then on the phone July 9th, Delgado said Faso's attack was, and I quote, "right out of the political playbook of the right to play to stereotypes. Any attempt to turn me into a right-wing caricature of a hip-hop artist is going to fail because it's not who I am, and the voters of New York 19 have shown they know better." Read the full story in the Times Herald Record.
Antonio Delgado is running for the 19th congressional seat as a Democrat this November. In 2006, he had a rap CD out, and this is a song called Draped in Flags from Antonio Delgado's project AD The Voice.
A wise man once told me, the road to hell
is paved with good intentions. Mission accomplished, May 1st, 2003. Over 3 years later, we still face the insurgency. 133,000 dead for supposed democracy. But then again, the first reason was WMDs. Never found those, so they proposed something like a loophole in the equation for woe. And we accept for lost souls, cause can't accept a mistake for the death toll. That hurts too much to face truth, shed a few and let go. But we know it's more than meets the eye. Independent of the fact that we were ever told a lie. Incompetence enough to ask the leadership why. And objectively criticize, it's what a patriot does in hard times, so we can learn to be better and truly epitomize the principles we proselytize while we eulogize lost lives and try to have it make sense. Meanwhile, oil execs are counting dollars and cents.
Paul Brooks of the Times Herald reports that 18 Hudson Valley-based religious leaders are calling for Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, to retract his review of some of the lyrics of a hip-hop album put out by his opponent, Antonio Delgado, in 2006. A letter addressed to Faso from 18 local members of the clergy says, and I quote, "Shame on you. This tactic should be called out for what it is. A thinly veiled racist attack for the purpose of insinuating fear in the voters in our district. Employing this tactic is distasteful, offensive, and morally wrong," end quote. Last week, even though the existence of Delgado's 2006 album credited to A.D. Voice, Painfully Free, has been mentioned in the media and campaign for over a year, Faso said in a July 9th press release, and I quote, "I was shocked and surprised to learn Mr. Delgado authored some very troubling and offensive song lyrics. Mr. Delgado's lyrics paint an ugly and false picture of America," end quote. In a letter to Faso, the clergy are asking the congressperson, and I quote, "to retract your attack and continue this congressional race with integrity and honesty," end quote. On July 13th, the Republican-backed super PAC, the Congressional Leadership Fund, began paying for a radio advertisement to air locally in the Albany and Poughkeepsie media markets centered on Delgado's recording and lyrics. Delgado's lyrics do include a few references to drug use and sexual encounters, and do also tackle politics, such as government's insufficient response to the victims of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. In one Delgado lyric, and I quote, "Think about our history and trace it back to when the Superdome got packed in like a slave ship, thousands left to die like they ain't worth expletive. How can we forget the past when it lives in the present? Why the response wasn't as fast as 9/11, the Crescent City abandoned," end quote. On July 13th, the Democrat defended his music again, saying, and I quote, "The mission of my music was clear, to speak to and inspire folks who have felt shut out and ignored by a broken political system, as so many people here at home still do. I'm disappointed that John Faso and his allies would stoop this low to use stereotypes and lies. I call on John Faso to immediately disavow these divisive attacks," end quote. Rabbi Yehiel Roma, Congregation Emmanuel of Hudson Valley in Kingston, said the principles of the letter addressed to Faso should extend to the outside pack. She said, and I quote, "I find it reprehensible that any group would use this kind of tactic in an attempt to elect a candidate," end quote. Faso's campaign did not respond to the newspaper's request for comment. Read the full story in the Times Herald.
Next, we have these reports.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Nick Nedrinsky reports at Politico New York that New York's Department of Health released a study July 13th recommending marijuana legalization. The report says that positive effects of legalizing recreational marijuana outweigh the negative consequences. The 74-page document states, and I quote, "It is imperative that a regulated marijuana program contain all necessary safeguards and measures to limit access for individuals under 21, minimize impaired driving, provide education and tailored messaging to different populations, and connect people to treatment if needed." The report guesses that between 248 and 678 million in annual tax revenue would come to New York State coffers if marijuana was legalized in New York, and crime prevention costs could fall if the law changed.
Governor Andrew Cuomo has gone from calling marijuana a, and I quote, gateway drug, end quote, last year to last month when he predicted legalization's eventual inevitability, saying, and I quote, for all intents and purposes, recreational marijuana is, and I quote, going to be here anyway, end quote. Benjamin Weiser and Jesse McKinley report in the New York Times that Alien E. Caleros, who worked with Governor Andrew M. Cuomo on an economic development initiative, was found guilty of wire fraud and conspiracy July 12. Caleros, 62, worked on Cuomo's plan to revitalize upstate and western New York, known as the Buffalo Billion. Coupled with the recent corruption conviction of one of the governor's former top aides, Joseph Pococo, Cuomo has faced heat for his lack of action on ethics reform. He released a statement after the verdict was announced that said, in part, that he had, and I quote, no tolerance for those who seek to defraud the system to advance their own personal interest. Anyone who has committed such an egregious act should be punished to the full extent of the law, end quote. The story says Dr. Caleros and Todd R. Howe, a former lobbyist with links to Cuomo, conspired to defraud Fort Shuler Management Corporation, a nonprofit real estate arm of SUNY Polytechnic, giving contracts to two firms whose executives were significant donors to Cuomo's political campaign. Read the full story in the Times Union. Amanda Purcell in Columbia Green Media reports that oxygen is running out of the Hudson Fire Department's 50 personal air tanks, and it will cost the city around $400,000 to replenish them in the next 3 months. The department wants 41 new air packs and 82 new oxygen tanks, plus masks for each firefighter. Hudson Assistant Fire Chief Nick Pereiro said, and I quote, every 15 years, the oxygen bottles are no longer to be tested or serviceable. The packs are outdated at this point. They have been discontinued and replaced by the manufacturer, end quote. Treasurer Heather Campbell said at the July 9th Common Council discussion that the Hudson Common Council meeting will hear all the details presented at their July 17th meeting. A bond resolution or a lease resolution is likely to be decided on at that meeting. Campbell said July 9th, and I quote, I think we should probably bond for the entire amount, even though we have some money in the fund balance, because there are other expenses that are coming up that are not bondable, end quote. The department averages about 375 service calls annually. Pereiro said, and I quote, without these air packs, we can't go into a burning building. There are a few things that are 100% must-haves in a fire service. Air packs, personal and personal protective gear, and the hose. You can't do the job without those. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that New York's Public Service Commission approved July 12th a joint proposal with Verizon, the PSC staff, the company's union, and the consumer advocacy group that says the communications company will improve customer service quality, including more broadband service upstate. Verizon will expand its fiber and hybrid fiber copper networks. Verizon will expand its fiber and hybrid fiber copper networks upstate in the Hudson Valley and on Long Island under the plan. They'll also take down 64,000 existing double telephone poles across the state. The Communications Workers of America and the Public Utility Law Project of New York were the other two groups involved in the discussions. Read the full story in the Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, wgxc.org.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Hudson Board of Education renamed a school, voted Willette Jones its new vice president, and more at its organizational meeting July 2nd. The board officially amended the name of Montgomery C. Smith Intermediate School to Montgomery C. Smith Elementary School as of July 1st. The school now houses pre-kindergarten through fifth grade. The board also made the closing of John L. Edwards Primary School official effective July 1st. Summer programs scheduled for JLE's grounds will still take place. Superintendent Maria L. Stuttermeyer said, and I quote, "We still own the building, it's just not a school," end quote. Incumbent board president Carrie Otting was reelected and Jones was voted board vice president. Jones has been a member of the board since 2016. She is a 1998 graduate of Hudson High School, and her four children have been educated in the Hudson School District as well. Jones replaced Maria McLaughlin as vice president. McLaughlin remains a member of the board. The Hudson Board of Education will next meet 6:30 p.m. Monday, July 23rd, in the Junior High School Library. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. F.C. Crow II is reporting for the Times Union. 10 months after telling the town it would clean up a stream polluted by PCB runoff from the Dewey Lofell Landfill Superfund site, federal officials will update residents July 17th on the work scheduled to be finished by the fall. Nassau Supervisor David Fleming said he was recently briefed by U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Region 2 Administrator Pete Lopez and EPA regional staff on the work to be done this summer to remove the soil and sediment along a 1,900-foot-long tributary. That tributary is contaminated with PCBs, a suspected carcinogen, and it flows into the Valencia Kill, a protected trout stream, which empties into Kinderhook Lake in Columbia County, south of the Superfund site. General Electric Company will remove the contaminated soil and sediments and replace the materials with clean backfill, restore the stream channel, and plant trees and shrubs. The cost of the project will be paid by GE and other companies responsible for the pollution. In addition to providing an update on the work during the community information meeting, EPA representatives will discuss a plan to create community advisory group for the site. The advisory group would draw its members from the community and serve as the focal point for the exchange of information among the community and the EPA. Dewey Lofell was declared a federal Superfund site in 2011. The community information meeting will begin at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, July 17, with an open forum followed by a presentation on the cleanup at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held at St. Mary's Church Parish Hall, 26 Church Street in Nassau. Read the full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. The
National Weather Service in Albany predicts an 80% chance of showers and afternoon thunderstorms Tuesday as a cool front moves across the area and reduces the humidity temperature. Tuesday night should be a low around 58. Wednesday should be sunny with a high near 77, a low around 53. And Thursday should be sunny with a high near 78 and a low around 58. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported creative community radio.
Coming up on the WGXC 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, July 17th, Pete Levensee starts the day in Catskill with the WGXC morning show live from the Carnegie Room of the Catskill Library. That's from 9 to 11 a.m. He'll be joined in the second hour by Heather Martin to talk about literacy connections of the Hudson Valley, a nonprofit offering basic literacy education and ESL classes for adults and reading enrichment for children. They'll be followed by James White and the Music Maestro Hour from 11 until noon. At 2 o'clock on Catskill Cabin Conversations, Mike Porter and Andy Reed will be talking with Francis K. Driscoll, award-winning nature photographer, about some of his iconic images of the Great Northern Catskills. After the evening news hour at 7 o'clock, Lillian Hornhorse, hosted by Lily Konigsberg and Matthew Norman. Lillian Hornhorse are as different as DJs can be, but on the third Tuesday of the month, they fall in love again during a musical battle. That's live until 9:30, followed by Battlefield Earth with Dan Seward from 9:30 to midnight.
Tune in overnight, Wednesday, July 18th, the early morning hours of the night. Radio News and Radio Stew at midnight. The Vital Weekly Show with brand new music from Amsterdam at 1 a.m. And then the REM REO Indigo Chicago Show from To Live and Shave in L.A.'s Tom Smith is on from 2 to 5 a.m. overnight on Wayfarm Radio and WGXC.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day. A performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Here's Hudson musician Emily Ritz with the song Dying Stars and Dark Waters from her 2018 release Pattern Recess.
Beyond and Zim.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
Tuesday, July 17th, Hudson Area Library hosts Exploring Sound with Deep Listening Institute. Learn about deep listening at noon to 2 p.m. Tuesday, July 17th at the Hudson Area Library. There's also a Durham Town Board meeting Tuesday, July 17th. Take out your phone, make a recording, do a live web stream. Find out more at info@wgxc.org. Email us today to find out how you can share your local meetings that you're already attending with all your friends and neighbors. Wednesday, July 18th, Drop Forge and Tool in Hudson has a workshop on cloning your favorite clothes. That's from 10:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Drop Forge and Tool, 442 Warren Street in Hudson. After that, they have a Radiant Network opening reception at 5:30 p.m. at Drop Forge and Tool, showing the most recent body of work from Catskill-based mixed media and textile artist Katie Ford, created during her residency at the Women's Studio Workshop in Rosendale. It's from 5:30 to 8 p.m. Drop Forge and Tool, Wednesday, July 18th. Crafting the Monologue is the show at the Ankrum Opera House at 6 p.m. Wednesday, July 18th. It's four consecutive workshops on four consecutive Wednesdays, beginning July 18th, about learning.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Thank you.